Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Acts chapter 9, beginning with the 36th verse. This is our first lesson for today, the 6th Sunday of Easter. Dear friends in Christ, what would it be like to attend your own funeral? Now, there are many people who wish that they'd be able to attend their own funeral, or to at least be a fly on the wall when your funeral is held. Mostly out of curiosity. Well, we're curious to see who actually cares about us. Who would actually spend the effort and the time in order to attend our funeral? Now, we would also be curious about how people would act at our funeral. Now, we would hope that the place would be packed. We would wish that there might be some weeping or mourning, or at least some tears swelling up in the eyes, because people cared about us, because they're sad that they're no longer going to be able to be with us this side of heaven, that our death left a little bit of a hole in their heart. That way we know at least that we were appreciated. No one wants to have their death celebrated. Like we saw celebrations when dictators or tyrants have died. When Hitler died, people celebrated. Same thing with Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein. No one wants to be hated that much that your death is celebrated. You also might be curious what people might say about you at your funeral. What do you want people to say about you at your funeral? How do you want to be remembered? Now, there are some people who want to be remembered by what they did for a living. Or maybe a hobby they love doing, a sports team they follow closely, or maybe their favorite entertainer. But is that really how you want to be remembered? Is that what you want people talking about at your funeral, your likes or dislikes, or how you made money? Is that how people are going to be comforted at your death? No matter what, at your funeral, people are most likely going to say nice things about you. I mean, let's be honest. The funeral is when people lie about themselves or lie about their loved ones the most. They never talk about the sins. They rarely mention all the difficulties and troubles and the things that this person did against them. They're going to focus on the good times. Now, there are many heartless people in the world, but there are very few people who are going to talk bad about someone at their funeral. But if someone was honest at their funeral, if they talked about you without holding back, what might they say? Now, there are many people who love you. There are many people who would attend your funeral and mourn, but there are also many people who don't care much about you. Some might even despise you or even hate you. As much as you show love to others, there are plenty of other people who have other stories. They could tell stories about how you failed to show love to them, about how they were in need and you refused to help them, how you looked the other way when they wanted help. They could tell stories again and again. Many of them at your funeral who still love you, but they could tell many stories of the many times you sinned against them. And many times you failed to show love. Now, at your funeral, they were going to say good things, but their minds are thinking of something else. And if they were honest, they could tell the many times that you failed to show love to them and to others. Perhaps at our funeral we're most curious about what our reputation is like. If everyone would be honest, what kind of reputation would we have? Dorcas got to see that in a sense at what was supposed to be her funeral. Look at the reputation she had, a sterling reputation. Now, Dorcas wasn't a preacher. She did not teach. She helped those as best as she could. No, without, she didn't look for a great reward. She quietly went about her business using her time, her talents, her treasures, her means to take care of those in need. Without looking for repayment, without looking for a thanks, she simply did good things to others. We are told by Luke that she simply was always doing good and helping the poor. Always, continually doing good things for others, always helping out the poor, always taking care of the needy. We are told later that she made clothes and cloaks and other things for those in need, specifically for widows. Women back then didn't work outside of the home. So someone who was a widow who didn't have a husband to take care of her had no way of making any money for themselves. Dorcas took it upon herself to take care of them. Now we don't know if Dorcas was married, it seems so. We don't know if Dorcas was a mother. But on this Mother's Day, you can say that Dorcas was a mother to many, taking care of those in need. Helping out those who didn't have anything. And look at how many people loved Dorcas. Look at all those who mourned her death. The house then when she died was full. People wailing, people mourning, people sad over her passing. Now she was so beloved that two men traveled 12 miles one way, probably by foot, to Lydda to see Peter. 24 miles on foot to get Peter. Now, it wasn't long before this that Peter had given a man named Aeneas the ability to walk. Aeneas had been crippled for 8 years, and through Peter, he is now able to walk. And word spread about this, and perhaps the believers in Joppa heard about it, so they fetched Peter, perhaps in hope that he might be able to do something for their beloved friend, Dorcas. Why did Dorcas do what she did? It's an important question to ask and an important question to answer. Why did Dorcas do what she did? Why did Dorcas use her time, her talents, her treasures? Why would Dorcas spend her money and everything else to take care of those in need? Simply put, out of love for her Savior. Luke simply refers to Dorcas as a disciple, a pupil, a student of Jesus, a follower of Christ. Someone had shared the gospel with her at some point in time. The Holy Spirit had worked faith into her hearts. She believed that Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior of the entire world. As a disciple, as a follower of Christ, she knew that God had given her everything. That everything she owned, everything in her possessions, was given to her as a gift from God. And that God had given her the ultimate gift. Through His perfect life, His suffering and death on the cross, He paid for her sins, gave her His perfect life, saved her from eternal condemnation. Through His resurrection from the dead, He gave her the sure hope of eternal life. Gifts that she did not earn or deserve. Gifts that she couldn't buy with any amount of gold or silver. Gifts worth more than any amount of gold or silver. So she had love for her Savior. Since Christ had showed love to her, she showed love to her Savior by showing love to others. These gifts that she did, all the good acts that she did, all the clothes that she made, were acts of love in service to her Savior, Jesus Christ. It would be good funeral for any of us if we had a funeral like Dorcas's was supposed to be. with so many people mourning her death and praising her for her acts of love. So we want to be a Dorcas. Not merely, though, because she was mourned at her death and so many people loved her. No, we want to be like Dorcas because she set a good example. We want to be like Dorcas because she showed love for her Savior by showing love to others. And so we follow her lead by showing love all the rest of our lives. But the story of Dorcas teaches us something else. Something greater than just showing love to others. You know, as faithful as Dorcas was, as much as she was loved by others, she still died. Because Dorcas was a sinner. Despite all of her obedience to God and all the love she showed to others, she still was conceived and born into sin as an enemy of God. She still failed to obey God's commands each and every day. And so she paid the price for her sins. She died. It was something she couldn't escape and something that we can't escape. Unless the Lord comes beforehand, all of us are going to die. We're sinners born into sin who fail to obey God's commands each and every day. And so all of us will die. Doesn't matter how old or young you are, or how rich or powerful, or how healthy you are. Something we can't escape. Some of us may die slow, painful deaths. Others might be quick. But all of us eventually will die and we will face judgment. And our bodies then will be buried in the ground. On the day of her death, after her friends had washed her body and began the proper burial customs at the time, Peter got to her house, made her way through the crowd to the upper room where they had placed her, and he knelt down beside her. Now Peter had followed Jesus around for 3 years, and three times throughout Jesus' ministry, he raised someone from the dead. And Peter was present all three times. Think of the time when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus got there. The room was packed. The house was packed. Jesus sent all the people out of the house except for three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and the girl's parents. Then Jesus turned to the girl and he said, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." The girl sat up and began to talk. Jairus' daughter became alive. Peter was there. Now fast forward many years to our text. Peter gets to the house and he kicks everyone out, like his Savior did, and says something similar to the woman. Tabitha, that is her Aramaic name for Dorcas. Tabitha, get up. And suddenly Dorcas became alive. She opened her eyes, she sat up, and Peter helped her to her feet. She was dead, but now she was alive. One major difference between Jairus' daughter and Dorcas. Peter prayed. Jesus didn't need to pray to God. Jesus, as God, already had the power to raise her from the dead. He already had power over death. Peter, a mere man, did not have such power. He prayed to God for the power, and God graciously gave it to Peter. Christ's victory over death through his resurrection from the dead means he has complete control over death. Death cannot hold him back, and death will not hold him back. Jesus has complete control over death to the extent that he's able to give that control to mere men. to use it to his glory to raise someone from the dead. So we will all die. But chances are, God's not going to send an apostle to raise us from the dead to give us a new physical life. No, God gives us such greater gift. He will raise you from the dead on the last day. He will give you a perfect and glorified body, and your body will join your soul forever. So, body and soul together, you will live in heaven, a perfect life free from sin and death, a perfect life with your Savior forever. God gave Dorcas a new life, and He will give you a new eternal life. What do you think Dorcas did with her new lease on life? Now, of course, we're never told. But I doubt that Dorcas said, hey, you only live once, YOLO, or, well, in her case, you only live twice. So I doubt she went out and did whatever she wanted to do, went out and knocked a few items off her bucket list, or retired and went traveling throughout the world and to visit all these different foreign countries. I doubt she wrote in a book on her experience or made the talk show circuit to cash in on her going to heaven. I doubt that she entered a convent or went into seclusion so she wouldn't be able to have to talk about it or see anybody else again. No, Dorcas probably did as she always did. Always doing good and taking care of those in need. She probably continued making clothes and coats and other things for those in need, especially the widows. You see, Dorcas understood that this life isn't all there is. There is a life to come. And the purpose in life, the goal in life, is to get to heaven and to bring others with you. So she used her life doing anything she could to show the love of Christ to others so they may see the love of Christ, hear the gospel, and join her in heaven. And word spread in Joppa and throughout the area, not just what the Lord did, what Peter did for Dorcas, but more importantly, what the Lord did for each and every one of us. That He suffered and died to take away our sins and rose from the dead to give us that gift, that sure hope of eternal life. And as the gospel was spread, more people believed. So we do well to follow the examples of those believers and spreading the gospel so that other people may believe and join us in heaven. We do well to be like Dorcas. Now, we want to be a Dorcas, not just so that people would attend our funeral and be sad at our passing. No, we want to be a Dorcas because she was a disciple, a follower of Christ who showed His love and how she dealt with others. That's really what we want people to say about us at our funeral. He's a believer who strives to show love, and we can't wait to join him in heaven. And we will join others in heaven, including Dorcas, because of Christ. And that through faith in Him, we know that when we die, we will be raised from the dead and given that new life. An eternal life with our Savior and all believers forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.